things happen to people who listen to radio.
Once we understand the bug, we will defeat it.
Are you ready for
radio? The only good bug is a dead bug.
Shoot a nuke down a bug hole, you got a lot of dead bugs, all right?
Some say that a live and let live policy is preferable to war with the bugs.
I say kill them all.
Yeah!
Put it on and leave it on.
Welcome to Bug Radio for the first time. Going out on Threads Radio, that's threadsradio.com, give them a click. We're going to be talking about whether you can really have a party on the internet, whether flouters of the lockdown should be thrown in the haunted house, and whether the bug is going to start a new Cold War. To wander the wastelands of bug-related tittle-tattle, I'm joined by the sage of Surrey Quays, Mr. Kieran Monks-Kaufman. Are you having a nice plague?
Yeah, I mean, there's always more to learn, isn't there? The niçoise salad really benefits from capers. Exploring a lot of green spaces by bicycle, you'd be amazed how many there are. Started to think like a bicycle almost at this point. You know, can I make this tight turn? Can I get across the junction before this truck? So fusing at molecular level with a bicycle.
I was sober last week, you know, and it was all right. But this week, oil is minus 40 and I've just gone full Brian Harvey. So the last 5 or 10 minutes of this are going to be pretty hard work, I'd imagine. The level of uncertainty in the world has obviously jumped to a new plateau. I think we can both say that. Although on a lighter note, Premier Foods is doing very well this week because everyone just wants to eat cake all the time, according to an excitable chap on Sky News the other night. So it swings and roundabouts.
Yeah. And also, I just want to quickly shout out our new comrades and benefactors at Threads Radio. That's threadsradio.com, who are showing the courage and the vision to broadcast Bug Radio, we presume. You can find them on various platforms. You can find us on at Bug Radio 2020. And also, I want to give some recognition to our international audience, which now numbers in the dozens of nations. So everywhere in the world, people are listening to Bug Radio. It's obviously a unifying force, although conspicuously we have zero listeners in China, and I suspect censorship. Too real for Jinping. Come on, give the people what they want. Radio. Everyone's trying to handle the plague in their own way, and we've already drawn attention to some of the creativity that people have shown. And one lady in Rome appeared to be pulling a fast one by walking a turtle, because we know that walking your dog is one of the few things that you're allowed out for. So this is a kind of genius to walking the turtle, because as we all know, the turtle is much slower. So your walking of the turtle gives you that much more freedom. Unfortunately, we believe she came unstuck and is threatened with some fine, which doesn't recognize the genius of the ploy.
So who is this lady?
Well, so far she's been...
Do we know anything about her?
She's been crudely characterized as a criminal, but I'm alive to that danger that you're suggesting, that she might be in it for the clicks.
Well, I don't know. If she's had this turtle for like 20 years and they're the best of friends, they go for a walk every day in the park and the Jobsworth police have shut it down, then yeah, obviously, ACAB. But if she's just some hipster edgelord who wants clicks on the ground...
It's a thumbs down, yeah.
It's a funny thing to come up with in the pub. I'm going to walk my tortoise and that's going to rub the old bill up the wrong way. But to actually go through with it, like the tortoise might be quite disoriented.
I mean, I purposely didn't want to bring up the guy who went in a full body leather suit to a Tesco, I think it was Kent, because I was like, he's only in it for the clicks. But this woman, I believe, is just a sort of regular turtle owner and admirer and is trying to give it the exercise it may or may not want, and has been, unfortunately, grassed up to the pigs, as so many are in this day and age. And in some cases, as we covered with people like the Scottish Chief Medical Officer, you've got to grass them up. But I think it's sad that it's happened in this case, if that is, in fact, what's happened. And we don't know everything. We're not going to pretend to know everything. I also want to talk about how different parts of the world have tried different strategies for trying to make their people cooperate with lockdowns and social distancing. So, for instance, we've seen viral montages of Italian mayors screaming at their constituencies, calling them motherfuckers, scumbags, assholes.
Volete far ammalare tutti? Siete degli irresponsabili, dei cretini, degli emeriti cretini.
Obviously, the Chinese response has been very firm, you know, not giving people the impression that it's a choice. And in the UK, the Nudge Unit seems to work by nudging people and asking them if they want to go to the pub.
If I had to go to a pub, I'd go to a pub.
Why does anyone have to go to a pub? Why would you have to go?
And in Indonesia, they're going with ghosts. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
So the thinking there seems to be that by having these state employees dressed up in sheets, and they're playing on popular mythologies whereby people fear the ghosts, that this will curb wayward instincts.
This is not a horror TV drama. The mysterious white figures you see jumping around is really happening in Kepo village in Indonesia.
So anyone still pissing about on the street when they shouldn't be, which we're totally against on Bug Radio, they're liable to be subjected to the ghosts who cruise the streets. And I don't know exactly, what do we imagine the ghosts
do? Yeah, what
do
they do to scare? Do they just wait around the corner and just jump out and go, "Rrr"?
Well, I do know that they're believed to have some sort of cultural resonance, so people aren't just going to sort of dust it off. So I'm looking at this story saying that they're on surprise patrols every few days. But no, they're not at all clear about what powers the ghosts have to enforce the laws or conventions. And then recently, this has been escalated further. So obviously, the ghosts weren't doing the trick completely, because in Sragen, Indonesia, they've now escalated by hurling malefactors into, quote, haunted house. So people that weren't respecting orders to isolate themselves were put in abandoned houses feared to be haunted. So far, 5 people have been put in haunted houses as a punishment for perceived bad behaviour.
Is that legal in Indonesia?
Well, I will say, you know, the law is what you make of it. I'm just looking at this governor who's enforced this law, saying, if there's an empty and haunted house in the village, put people in there and lock them up. Where have you seen good messaging on this? Because, you know, obviously everywhere is trying their own approach to getting people indoors. You know, what do you think works? What works on you?
What works on me is worrying about my dad, just worrying about my parents getting it. That's what keeps me at home. I'm not sure whether any messaging personally has done that for me.
I saw a message from the Ohio governorship, I think it was earlier, which showed a lot of ping pong balls arrayed on mouse traps. And then it showed that if you chucked in different numbers of ping pong balls with like a different number of mouse traps, you know, that shit would get messy.
And that would keep you at home.
Well, I mean, they were getting a lot of retweets. They were getting a lot of applause. Everyone was like, they know what they're doing in Ohio. I'm watching it now. So they drop a ping pong ball on lots of different mouse traps with ping pong balls on them, and they all go fucking all over the place.
You know, we've been complaining about how bad the government's messaging's been, but exactly the same people who were complaining about that are also the ones who are protesting that pretty much everyone is trying as hard as they can to abide by the rules. I mean, obviously, the government's messaging was incredibly late, but in terms of the way that it's making people behave at the moment, I guess it is quite effective in some way.
Well, so are you saying the nudge unit for life?
I don't know, because it was obviously extremely slow to kick into gear.
Yeah, more like sludge unit.
Yeah, so it was the sludge unit at the beginning. But to be fair to it, it is working if, as we keep saying, most people are doing what they're told.
I mean, I was just out again on my stroll. It struck me that discipline is collapsing. You know, large groups of people congregating, that they were just giving off the vibe like, you know, I paid this lip service before, but I'm bored now. And I suppose this leads us quite neatly on to the protests in America and other places, where we've seen a kind of, you know, a sort of grossly astroturf, but nonetheless dynamic movement.
Let us work! Let us work! You can't close America! You can't close America!
Where are we seeing this? We're seeing this in Michigan, in Texas, in Virginia. Clearly, people are losing patience. There was the outrageous hypocrisy of that one guy who had a sign like, coronavirus is bullshit, and he was wearing like a massive mask and a bodysuit.
America will reopen! Texas is leading the way!
You knew it was serious when Alex Jones showed up. I mean, you made the point that he's gone from being this self-identified rebel symbol of the counterculture to a fucking establishment mascot.
Yeah, I mean, InfoWars is probably just as helpful to the deep state in Washington as the Daily Express is to Number 10. He's turning up in a tank and he's got like a bullhorn and he's just yelling. And it's fully supported by the president, by the White House. All of these big social media bands are brilliant for him because they just divert all these morons directly to his website. And it's all plastered in adverts for bump stocks and combat fatigues or whatever. I would imagine he's laughing out of this, no?
Yeah, I feel he's betrayed his fan base because, I mean, they signed up for lizard talk. Who was Epstein working for? You know, that's what they want Alex Jones for, not just some basic vote Republican stuff. If you're just going to be a sort of house organ for the government, then surely your fearless truth-telling credentials take a hit. Are these protests going to get shirtier? Because there's going to be more and more people getting more and more pissed off and frustrated as they're confined to their lairs. So do you see these getting a lot bigger? Are they going to get angrier? Are they going to get more serious?
I mean, in theory, they would carry on as long as the lockdown carries on. I guess it depends on what percentage it is, which is just paid for AstroTurf, and how much of it is a genuine kind of Nazi occupying.
I mean, they've got a lot to feed on, though, don't they? They've got a lot of... I mean, imagine somebody, like, say you don't necessarily have the best information sources, and someone keeps telling you, you know what, the lockdown is a load of crap. You need to, like, get out there and just live your life. That's going to be an appealing message to a lot of people.
Yeah, by no means least, stay-at-home mother Amira Abuzaid, who said, I'm not a doctor, but I'm an intelligent person who can do math. And it looks like, at the end of the day, these numbers are not that worrisome.
What do I say to the science? I say I don't believe your science because I believe my God.
I mean, people might say, look, they're the experts.
But they're not, though, because their numbers have been lies.
If asymptomatic people go back to work, they could infect other people who could die.
Okay, that's an interesting hypothesis.
It's a fact.
Yeah, sure it is.
I suppose this feeds into this idea of armchair epidemiology, which has become a very popular pursuit, which golfer Jim Daly put clearest.
I kind of got a cure for this, you know. I only drink one drink a day. It just happens to be a bottle, a good old Belvedere. You know, you just drink one of these a day, you know, sippy on a little McDonald's Diet Coke, you know, wash it down pretty good, never have a hangover. And that's the way you kill this coronavirus, I believe.
Basically, he says the vodka can cure you, and that if you just drink enough vodka, you'll be all right. You know, the French in the early days were saying that, well, not all of the French, some of the French, the party French, were saying that if you do enough cocaine, you might be all right. So obviously there's a big strand of wishful thinking within armchair epidemiology. My contention is that these protests are going to go larger as people get shirtier, because I think there's a lot of anger and frustration to feed on, especially when you can direct it at government and you can instrumentalize pre-existing resentment.
This is a tool now. This is a tool to keep us at home and on house arrest. I'm not on house arrest. I refuse. I walk out of my house now.
But then that's going to entail its own response, because you've got these very compelling visuals of counter-protests where the protesters against lockdowns, against proper bug hygiene, are confronted by the doctors and care workers who realize that they're going to have to treat these bozos. Already we've seen indications that actions do in fact have consequences, and places where these large events have taken place have resulted in higher admission rates to local hospitals. It's surprising that some of the more traditionally minded people in America that don't like foreign people and abortions, who have been protesting, have been joined by some of the world's best tennis players in some of their surprising views. So for instance, we've had the tennis world number one Novak Djokovic saying that he's against vaccines, and he would have a decision to make if it came down to whether or not he was able to play with a vaccine. But he was outdone by this other tennis player, Marat Safin, who said, I think they're preparing people for chip implants. In 2015, Bill Gates said we'll have a pandemic, that the next enemy is a virus. They did a simulation at the Davos Forum. I don't think Bill Gates is a predictor. He just knew. I think with this virus, the situation isn't like we're being told, but people believe the horror stories on TV. Some people believe civilization will end. I don't believe that. We'll just be going around with chips soon.
Was he a member of the Labour Party, need I ask?
Well, he won 2 Grand Slam titles and considered quite attractive as well.
Wow. That's the worst thing a really shitty take needs, is a really, really sexy guy going around saying it, isn't it? It's generally an individual freedom thing, isn't it? Whenever you hear these people screaming out of cars, you know, if you don't like freedom, go to China or whatever. That's the thing that's getting people who aren't astroturfed to go there.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's an open question how organic these protests are. No doubt there are some people who are pissed off and a lot that have been stirred up, but we shouldn't treat them at face value. I'm just looking at some of the groups that are heavily involved in organizing the protest, things called the Michigan Conservative Coalition, formerly the Michigan Trump Republicans. So it's basically an adjunct of the Republican establishment. The Virginia Citizens Defense League, which is a gun rights group, which is... Well, although that said, maybe if you're a gun rights group, you prefer the lockdown. Maybe they're not being very smart hitching their wagons to this, because as we've seen, the gun queue is around the block right now.
I mean, there does seem to be a huge amount of dark money from people like the Koch brothers.
I suppose it's the internalization of the Fox media strategy, whereby if you just scream hysterical lies at people, full stop, they just won't believe that anything like medicine exists anymore. They'll just think everything is just an attempt to take their guns and make them have abortions. I don't know if these should be taken more or less seriously than, for instance, the 5G truthers. Although I suppose in both cases, they are serious in the sense that they're potentially quite committed violent maniacs. I mean, with some of these protests, we've seen militias with, you know, lots of hardware. I don't know if you've seen those pictures of groups with the full Rambo package outside of municipal buildings. Although apparently in America, this is normal.
Whenever you look at America, you do get this overwhelming sense that it could slip into civil war slightly quicker than us, just because there are so many people wandering around with M16s all the time.
Maybe the civil war never ended.
Do you think this means that because of the amount of dark money and astroturfing that's been plowed into this, do you think this means that the Trump machine seriously believes that because the markets have shat the bed, this could seriously damage his re-election bid? So it's throwing the kitchen sink at just ending the lockdown come hell or high water by funding stuff like this. It's so weird how the whole thing's so coordinated. Like on Friday, Fox News runs a package on protests in Virginia, Michigan, Minnesota. 2 minutes later, Trump starts tweeting, free Virginia, free Michigan, free Minnesota. Like, this isn't just some rabble of dickheads who've turned up just to have a laugh on a Saturday afternoon, is it?
I think it's probably beyond the president to have organized something.
No, but I don't mean the president himself, but it's the people with all the money in the oil market. A whole load of the businesses that they've invested in over the last 5 years have all gone fucked now. And they desperately need to get shit going.
I suppose it's quite plausible that perhaps some of his advisors and donors and, you know, that menacingly titled deep state are trying to get him reelected and think that, you know, an apocalypse is not good campaign material.
If he now doesn't have the story of him making the markets go up forever, which is what he rode in on largely, his only recourse is let's blame everything on China. Maybe that's the new thing now. He started that trade war with China so that he could end it theatrically and say, look at this great deal I've struck with China, re-elect me, basically. Then the economy story, that's in the toilet now.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was obviously told to position himself as a wartime president, and that war is to some extent against the bug. Let's not forget the bug in all this. But also it's a war against, you know, the same liberals that have always been the target. And I think we're going to get on to a bit later, talking about how this might affect the culture wars we've been having here and elsewhere as well. Radio,
the best station. So basically, when can we go back to the pub? According to the New York Times, people are knocking up pub benches in their back garden and playing recordings of background pub ambience on their Alexas. Michael Gove confirms that areas of hospitality, or what he calls areas of hospitality, will be among the last to open. So basically, the more fun the place is, the longer it will be until we get to go in 20.
Yeah, well, The Sun had a terrifying front page saying that pubs are over for the year. But I'm sure before it gets to that point, there'll be underground speakeasies, and particularly the people with that precious immunity passport, which is being promised, will be organising their own.
Do you think that'll be a good thing?
It will perhaps serve as a motivation to get the bug.
I mean, during the 1930s, there was a lot of horrible stuff going around, but the bug wasn't one of them. Are we saying that people are going to be basically making their own pubs? People are going to be taking the law into their own hands, and they're going to be getting pissed together, whether people like it or not. Is that good or not?
Yeah, I mean, a speakeasy culture would be challenging to people who have learned forms of discipline in terms of informing on their neighbours and not having any fun. So that could provoke tensions. I mean, we wouldn't get much of the unity that people associate with bug radio, for instance.
As far as I know, independent breweries haven't been given government help yet, like pubs and hotels have. So presumably that works out brilliantly for the corporate vats full of piss, doesn't it?
Do you mean Tim Weatherspoon? Is that the polite way of putting it? I think you're supposed to call him something else, you know, like His Eminence.
Sorry, yeah, presumably this works out very well for His Eminence. And I guess also the rule probably is the more interesting the pub, the less likely it will make it through this. Because the more interesting the pub, the more quirky the owner, the less likely they are to run it like, you know, a bean counter. So when we go out, there'll just be a million Slug and Lettuces and a million Wetherspoons, and that'll be it.
So I suppose we're particularly mourning the loss of the very old ones that line the Thames. Like, for instance, shout out the Angel in Bermondsey.
Sam Smith's. I've been looking around on the internet about any news about how likely Sam Smith's pubs are to weather this. If any of our listeners know anything about it, please get in touch. I mean, that would really affect my life if they weren't about anymore.
Yeah, so I mean, so even before this whole plague, we were worried about the Angel and similar places which were otherwise getting steamrolled. And, you know, we're not like camera, you know, we're not of that vintage. But nonetheless, it would be a real shame if this is a sort of locomotive of homogenization. We could well be waving goodbye to a lot of our most characterful locals. Partly, I think the reason why people are feeling the absence of pubs is that the alternatives have been so inadequate. I mean, there's been this lie, basically, this effort to convince us that it's possible to have a party on the internet. I mean, people are all like, join my Zoom party, join the misleadingly titled house party app. But it's nothing like a party. No one's vomiting in the corner. It's not the same. I was reading that Burning Man, that byword for fecklessness. I mean, I know some cool people that go and have a good time, so I don't want to slag it off too much, but he is also known for wankers as well.
Isn't it supposed to be like a sort of a post-capitalist society, there's no money or whatever? But basically all the richest, like, property empire heirs go there, and they have their own, like, compounds. Sometimes they fly in via helicopter, and they've got, like, grand pianos and, like, installed swimming pools and stuff. And it's just kind of like, it's more of a dystopia of what would happen if this sort of capitalism was left unchecked for about 200 years or so.
Yeah, so it's a complicated one to take a view on. But they've been perhaps quite desperately insisting that they will have a form of event taking place this year. They've even been, according to Vice magazine, trying to organise food-themed orgies. So people have got to sort of smear each other with cake as far as that's possible in a distanced environment. And I suppose if they can recreate that, you've got to say good luck to them. But I still don't think it busts the consensus we've got here that it's not really possible to have a party on the internet.
Aren't you going to talk about the ass cream van?
Well, that's the plan. The plan is for an ass cream van. Quotes, covered in asses, four mannequin ass-shaped disco balls in the corners, giant ass-shaped canopy covering the top that shoots fire. So again, you've got to hand it to them to an extent because they don't want to get pushed around by the bug. They're trying to maintain as many aspects of their lifestyles as they can. But I don't rule out the possibility, even though I don't think now it's currently with the existing technology possible to have a party on the internet. I think looking forward, if you, for instance, had holograms and haptic technology and things like that, then maybe you genuinely wouldn't need to go and like physically spend time with people. You would have enough of a replica for that at your fingertips.
Would you ever be able to get past the fact that they weren't there?
I mean, if we speculate that machinery will continue to evolve, do you think machinery is making any progress at all in sort
no,
of...
No, because part of being at a party is that you share things, you know, have a bang on this, like, you know, try some of this. You physically can't pass things over. I find that really, really disconcerting.
And I suppose we've got to accept that our interpretation of a party isn't universal. But surely the machines are getting somewhere. I mean, here we are now doing Bug Radio in a degree of synergy, and people everywhere are talking to one another and staying connected. So I feel like the machines are making some progress, aren't they? But when are they going to get to the point where they're actually sort of a decent standard of humanity importing mechanism?
I don't know whether they'll ever get to that. But one thing I have found is that I am talking to my closer friends more often, and my parents as well. I don't know whether you've noticed that.
Yeah, I think everybody's feeling like they've got a lot of time, and so people that they might otherwise avoid, like sort of net deficits become assets. There's this other emerging plague hack which is coming through, the idea of the return of the drive-in. So these were popularized by John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John in their many films together, when presumably they actually did have drive-ins and they weren't just a device in a film where people could get to know one another in an informal setting. Guys with leather jackets and greasy hair could go peacocking and intimidating their love rivals and impress women. And so, you know, given that we're not really allowed to spend time with each other, apparently in some countries where they're opening up a bit, but not to kind of a reckless extent, drive-ins are a kind of halfway house. And you think about it, there's all sorts of things you can drive into. You can have a drive-in movie experience, a drive-in concert, a drive-in football match. I think it's being suggested in Denmark that rather than having fans at football games, they would instead be outside in their cars hooting at the correct moment.
That's true. This is probably the sort of thing that will work more outside the M25, though, because most people I know don't have cars.
Well, we're going to have to get cars, and I suppose it's good timing that the bottom's fallen out of the oil market, because we can now all just like get some pile of trash and pump it full of not merely free gas, but gas they've got to pay you to take. And also, I don't think we've got to worry about pollution anymore, do we? Because, you know, the world's ending. So let's just make a big kerosene fiesta down the Surrey Quays Odeon Bowl. It's about fucking time.
We had a chat yesterday and you told me that oil was $5 a barrel, which is unbelievable. And then at the end of that, oil had gone negative for the first time in history. And today, the June contract has also just been getting hammered, and Brent oil, which is stored in the sea and therefore the storage is cheaper, even that contract is getting hammered. That's gone below $20 for the first time in 18 years. So have the environmentalists won this argument? Should we have bought shares in Greta Thunberg PLC?
But where is Thunberg these days? You never see her. She's been knocked off the airwaves. The bug has taken her out.
She's applauding healthcare staff. She's talking about how the bug is meaning new cycling schemes, new walking schemes. Loads of pedestrianization programs have been signed off since the bug turned up. She must feel like she's kind of won the argument. There is something very different coming over the hill. I was trying to figure out whether we could get paid to take a load of oil and store it somewhere. There was an advert that was renting out, you know, like those oil tanker truck things. And they just have oil in the back. So you could rent one of those. It took like 95 barrels, I think. And it's like $2,500 a month to rent it. So if we were getting paid $37 a barrel and we got 100 barrels, so we're getting $3,700, you would have had to spend that back on just 2 months of storage.
I know that you've read several books on economics. And I know that a lot of our listeners out there will be thinking, how do I play this crisis to my advantage? Like, I don't know bugger all about a NASDAQ or a Dow, but I know what a plunging line on a graph looks like. And that looks like value. And how do I get some?
I was considering whether it might be possible to buy a load of oil, wait for it to go back up and then sell it. And you can't, because there's nowhere to store it. And the people who have got storage are charging so much money that you couldn't afford to store it for more than a couple of months. And that's why nobody's buying it.
Well, we've got a couple of outstanding challenges to people. I remember last week we challenged The Economist's Europe editor to justify his seeming insinuation that Boris Johnson is actually dead. So I want to challenge anyone else. If they can think of anywhere to store lots of oil, then maybe pass that on via @BugRadio2020.
We need someone who's got a big piss off pile in the country, basically about 25-30 acres or something.
Anyone with any vats?
If you stacked all that up in your back garden, each one of those barrels is like 4 feet long or something. Once you start piling it that high, would you not need planning permission? Because it changes the atmosphere of the street.
I mean, if you've got like underground storage facilities, if you've got perhaps if it's a very long tube, maybe a pipeline, then get in touch.
Put it on and leave it on.
There is obviously a huge choir of complaint about China. Damian Green, former deputy to Theresa May, he says the UK should adopt a more wary stance towards China, quote, similar to our attitude to Russia in the more peaceful stages of the Cold War. So that's reassuring. And also 75% of Brits think this is all China's fault. We've seen a spike of racist attacks on Chinese students. And the US-China trade relationship seems like it's going to take a nosedive after this. And if the US loses this kind of Cold War, what sort of implications is that going to have for liberal democracy all over the world? Because the China hawks in the White House are already claiming that the Chinese deliberately allowed this to become worse than it needed to be, so they could publicly shut it down really impressively and build hospitals in 5 minutes as a way to promote authoritarianism and shore up their own soft power. Now, obviously, I'm not a China hawk, right? But the first part of that is quite difficult to argue with. We know they sat on it. We know they smeared the whistleblowers because that's what they always do when something like that happens. And as for the second bit, who knows? You know, they're presumably getting quite fed up of getting hounded for Tibet and Hong Kong and Xinjiang. So what's our position on China?
Okay, but also we are trying to get big in China. You know, we're trying to appeal to Xi Jinping to let us broadcast because, as I covered...
What, so you think we've already got America?
Yeah, I mean, I personally...
Do we say nice things about China? Okay, you know what? You say nice things about China
personally,
now. Say three nice things about China.
I want to get sponsored by Alibaba, which, as you know, is supplying medical equipment around the world and is a great and benevolent force, which seeks nothing in return. Maybe they shouldn't have pretended that it was no big deal in the first place. But also, it's most pertinent here, really, in what you mentioned about how a lot of people want to scapegoat Chinese people. So, I mean, obviously, we can differentiate between governments and people. Government shit, people nice. And yeah, that'll do.
My concern with the new Cold War is that the choice is which one of those two countries becomes the new superpower. Is it better for people with ideas like we've got? If America wins this new Cold War, or China wins it, which set of forces would you like pulling on all of the progressive movements in the world?
That is interesting because, yeah, I suppose it's not about who's good or who's not evil. It's about like creating the most favorable terrain for the sorts of movements that we would support. China has never wanted to be involved with the big global conflicts, and it's always abstained at the Security Council. They haven't wanted America's job as world police.
No, but have they not been trying to gain influence economically? I think that the biggest non-American owners of American government bonds. So America owes more money to China. They've been building up economic power. They're going to want some kind of way of suggesting to the world that maybe their way of doing things is better than our way.
We've always wanted America to lose its job as world police because it was such a dick about it. But Yeah, I mean, the noises out of China right now are very scary. I mean, I know a few people who are there, and it seems like there's a huge effort to create that kind of nationalist paranoia whereby everyone's trying to undermine the great state of China. You know, the sort of language that we know from our own cultural wars that they're trying to promote there, but maybe with far less opposition. And so the idea of them becoming the eminent power, even with the caveat that they don't want to be the world police.
That is completely true. There are people, obviously, who are worried that we're getting rid of an Avon Barksdale and replacing him with a Marlowe Stanfield.
I saw it phrased quite interestingly the other day that two neutral countries, or countries that have been sort of broadly within the American sphere of influence but not beholden to America in the way that, say, Britain is, it might start to appear that America is a chaotic evil under Trump, whereas China is a stable evil. So if you're going to have one set of bastards setting the agenda, you might prefer the one that's a bit more predictable. I read an interesting bit by a former associate of mine, the BBC correspondent Paul Wood, and he speculated that germ warfare is a sort of poor man's way of bringing about the apocalypse, and raised the possibility that a state like perhaps North Korea might have something like a dead hand doomsday device whereby, should the Americans bomb the crap out of North Korea, as they've occasionally threatened to, then North Korean sleepers would release deadly germs in American cities, such as to more or less destroy everything, because obviously germs don't recognize borders, so we all get a taste. But it would be kind of mutually assured destruction.
Although North Korea would presumably find it a bit easier to lock down their borders than any other country, simply because it is just the most used to being cut off from the world and being incredibly particular about who it lets in and what they're allowed to do there. I reckon the only sort of person who would want to weaponize a new bug in that way would be some sort of eco-terrorist. Somebody who had a belief that there were simply too many people around. They needed nature to be able to take over again. The thing about an eco-terrorist is that they just don't discriminate. They just want to reduce the population. That's it.
If you're the boss of the Northumbria Separatist Alliance, you must be thinking that all the emergency services are overstretched, that everything is vulnerable, you get a lot of high-value targets. The time is now.
Yeah, you would imagine that there are labs around the world that are working on more dangerous versions of this pathogen, or certainly finding out enough about them to be able to manufacture them if that's what they wanted to do. You know?
That would be shitty behavior, but is it even as bad as Richard Branson? I mean, I was asked to give Richard Branson some abuse on this episode, and I don't want to disappoint the public. I mean, we know about the man's history, that he pockets state aid for his creepily titled ventures. He demands extravagant bailouts while, on the other hand, suing the NHS and buying bits of it.
He is offering up his humble abode of Brass Necker Island as collateral for the bailout.
Yeah, so, I mean, can words begin to express our contempt for Richard Branson? Are we being held to ransom by Branson?
The plot thickens. He apparently, in 2008, opposed British Airways getting a government bailout, said that they should be allowed to go to the wall and allow smaller and more efficient airlines, like, for example, Virgin Atlantic, to take over those routes. He's painted himself into a corner here.
I mean, he's the dickhead's dickhead. I mean, has this government got the spine, the wherewithal to, you know, see off these absurd demands?
Well, how damaging would it be to them politically? The base that they've just shored up is that they want Britain to free itself from the shackles of foreign interference. Are those people amenable to these sorts of arguments about how he's obviously not a patriot because he lives in the British Virgin Islands and pays no tax?
How can we get revenge on Richard Branson? Should we be leaving him one-star reviews in places? I mean, he would argue you're not just shafting Branson if you refuse his ransom demands, that he also employs a lot of people that he will then stop employing. But isn't this just a variation of the scam whereby if you tax rich people, they're just going to leave?
I mean, obviously, there's going to be a lot of saber-rattling and lobbying in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, Branson, what a dick. Would you say that he is currently leading? Because we don't have any sports at the moment. Is he leading the sort of dickhead championship? Is he having the worst plague of all?
I don't know. I was thinking about this. There hasn't really been like a massive, like Martin Shkreli kind of pariah yet, has there?
Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to call us pricks, you can do that on Twitter at BugRadio2020. And if 250 characters isn't sufficient for you to express your contempt, you can email us on BugRadio2020@gmail.com. We'll be back next week. Now wash your hands and piss off.